charging my iPad here, so it was getting a little low earlier. So yeah, I was working earlier, and I'm looking down, whoa, I don't have any juice left. I got 78%, so we're good. We're good. All right. All right. I like technology. All right. Hallelujah. We're going to continue to talk about faith-filled prayer. But you know what, too? It's also tonight just continuing down the road of just having faith. But, you know, we always think sometimes of just, you know, having faith as just, I'm believing for money, I'm believing for things, I'm believing for this. But it's also just holding true to who you believe you are in God. And, you know, there are just so many people out there that we see on TV and the world around us. You know, it was interesting because we were in it, and it's just how much people, you know, I'll just say this. Emily had a game last night, and tournament, and some, she's kind of in the midst of that. And, you know, one of the umpires, two umpires are older, grabbed all the girls at the end from both teams, and they said the Lord's Prayer. And, you know, there's some people on our team, they just had a fit. You know, they just, you know, and the girls were, they have a text thread, and they were on there just, you know, that was uncalled for, and this and that, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like the things that we take for granted or we think are pure or a good thing, that, you know, there's people going to challenge us. You know, they're going to challenge our faith. What do you believe in? And the devil's going to send people, circumstances, pressure along. He's the master of pressure, right? And that's the only thing the devil has is pressure. I'm pretty sure that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego felt pressure from King Nebuchadnezzar that day, right? And it's pressure. What are you going to do? How are you going to respond? We always tell our girls, continue to stand in faith, right? Fight for the things that you believe in. And it's going to take faith. It's going to take convincing. It's going to take knowing. But the reason why we do have faith is because we believe in a person, not a creed, not some organized organization or what have you. I'm not saying those things. They definitely have a place. But we believe in a person, which is Jesus. And we were just talking about some people that, you know, we're kind of have some strange, you know, a lot of the religious folks out there. You know, I'll just say this. Throughout the years, we've had Mormons and Jehovah Witnesses and people show up at our front door and wanting to talk and, you know, witness to me. And I'm like, come on in, buddy. Let's do this. Yes, let's have a conversation, right? And, you know, the thing I love about these people that are in cults and everything is like, because they've got a script that doesn't make sense. When you listen to it, you're thinking, this doesn't make sense. But they'll have a script often for scriptures. They never use the New Testament. It's always some obscure, weird thing in the New Testament. I'm not saying the Old Testament's weird, but I'm saying they'll pull some strange thing from the Old Testament. You ever notice how they're always focused on the Old Testament? But people of faith, Christians, we're always focused on Jesus. Our beginning point is Jesus, right? The whole Bible focuses around one person, which is Jesus. When we start with Jesus, we stay balanced. Because if we view God through the eyes of Jesus, we see Jesus as loving, compassionate, crying at, you know, Lazarus' tomb. We see the heart of God beating through Jesus, had compassion on the crowd, fed 5,000 people, healing people, multitudes. He'd heal multitudes of people. And when we listen to religious people, he's out to kill people, he's out to do things. And even though we see people that are, you know, supposedly faith or they call themselves Christians, they're still going to test your faith, right? The world will. We see the Apostle Paul through the ends of his epistles warns us against people who are, you know, basically wolves in sheep's clothing. They come along. And if you've been around people, they're just a downer all the time too, you know, where you can, you're like, hey, I'm doing this. And they're like, oh, I did that. It didn't work. You'll never be able to do that. That you'll fail in that. And you're thinking, I thought you were on my side. But even though they may be on your side, I've had, you know, family members or things in the past have done that. Well, you won't do that. I mean, that, you know, oh, you're going to be able to do that. Well, Wait, are you on my side? I thought we were on the same team. And sometimes we think the people are on our same on our side, and they're on our team, and they're for us. They're not necessarily for us. So there's tests coming from every direction. And we see that God is faithful. Reviewed last week, God is good. God wants good things for us, and he wants to connect with us. And there's a whole lot of people out there who, they want to do, they claim to be Christians, but they want to do everything except for what Jesus tells us to do. And when we look at, so when we get away from Jesus, we see that God kills people, God does these things, he's bad, and this and that. And it's easy to get around people and get swept up in none of those things, right? And it's easy to get angry with people and frustrated and to blow your, and to get really, I was like the old preachers call it righteous indignation. It just means a fancy word for getting angry for the word's sake. But, and again, you know, God got angry, and, you know, the Bible talks about you can get angry and sin not. But Mark 11, 22 through 26, if you haven't been around here, you've heard this about 1,000 times. Mark 11, 22. So yeah, while you're turning there, I remember one time, you know, a Jehovah's Witness came to my house, and they were, or no, it was a Mormon, or I don't remember, whatever. But, you know, one wears magical underwear and talks to frogs and believes Jesus and the devil are brothers, and the others think only 144,000 would get to heaven and everything else too. So there's, it's all weird. But so we're, you know, this guy was at my front door years ago talking about some obscure thing out of Ezekiel that didn't even make sense, and I'm thinking, I have no idea where you're going with this. But somehow it was to convert me into Jehovah's Witness, or the Mormon faith. You know, I want to connect with somebody, right? I want to know that there's a real God out there. And so Jesus is talking about having faith, not just in some book, not just in some stories of old, but what Jesus really comes down to, he says this. Jesus said, have faith in the Word, right? Have faith in the Bible. He says, have faith in God, which is a person. And I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. And that's all based on connecting with him. And then in verse 24, therefore I say unto you, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. I said this about 1,000 times before, but you know how many times we have people that, and we're always happy to pray for people. You know, we used to work in like a, you know, take prayer requests, and people would call in, they're at Rhema and then another ministry, and everything else too. And they don't have faith in God. They have faith that you're going to connect with them for them and talk to God. And so there's the relationship is gone. They don't feel that God will hear them. They're not good enough. We need more people praying. No, it's about connecting with him, trusting him. And then it says, verse 25, therefore stand praying. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any that your Father which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. So what we're seeing here, it's a relationship. It comes back to a relationship. Prayer is talking to a person and relying on the Lord. Relying on the Lord. Hebrews 11 1 through 1, Hebrews 11, 1. And we do live in the drive-through, drive-up scenario, right? We all do. I was in Detroit, right, Sunday night, and I had to take an Uber to my hotel business, and It was amazing because I popped it up, got the Uber app. I never used the Uber before because people either pick me up or I pick them up or they drop me off or something, right? So, you know, I've never had to. So I figured out the Uber thing and I got my luggage claim and it was like, oh, well, the pickup's right across the road here. Perfect. Hit boom. And then I just hit the button and then boom, a guy took my Uber within like just hitting the button. I was like, well, that's cool. And then it said, he's going to be there in 3 minutes. I walked over. Yep. Sure enough, 3 minutes later, this little white Subaru pulled up, loaded up my stuff, and away we go. I was like, that's cool, you know, because I'm anticipating I'm going to be here for a half hour, 45 minutes, and then somebody will come up and somebody will do this. I was like, whoa, 3 minutes. I'm like, got my ride and I'm gone. This is awesome. Well, life doesn't work like that all the time. It was so funny because the guy that was Everett Des Moines, he was from Omaha, and we all flew into Detroit. And this is a testimony, too, because I prayed about these things. So, and it's so funny because I'm, you know, getting on the plane, and they're like, oh, sir, we've got an upgrade for you. I'm like, well, that's great. And I get a bigger seat, and I don't have anybody next to me, and I get a window seat. And I got all this enormous leg room because they set me right by an exit. So it was great. And then I got off the plane, and then, boom, I've got an Uber guy there in 2 minutes. And I get there, and everything's great. And then I go to the next hotel the next day. I mean, everything's just perfect. And you know what? The other guys, they sit in an Uber car for 2 hours. They got stranded. The police officer had to drive him and drop him off at the hotel. And I'm like, well, everything worked out great for me. Why? Because I prayed. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, you're not going to have bumps or anything, but I was like, Lord, I believe my journey is going to be prosperous. I think, you know, I pray and believe over things. Amen? And so, but not everything is the 2 minute, 3 minute Uber. Everything's perfect. Everything falls into place. We know that sometimes the trying our faith is just patience, right? It's just things just don't line up every minute. You know, it's like when you're raising kids and everything, you're thinking, oh, Lord, did I make mistakes here? Or, you know, because, you know, before you have your kids and everything, it's like, well, I know how to raise kids and everything's just wonderful. And then they show up and you're like, okay, forget all of that. Forget all my thoughts and philosophy about things, right? Because when you get in the middle of parenting, sometimes every kid's different, everything's different, every situation's different, and you have to evaluate things. We still use our faith, right? It's like, well, this doesn't really. And am I the only one in life? Sometimes you look back and you're like, okay, that didn't work out like I had hoped, or that thing didn't happen the way I had hoped or planned for. But it doesn't mean we give up altogether, do we? That's where faith comes in. We see that, I mean, look at Abraham. He had so many mistakes, right? I mean, he's the father of our faith. He makes mistakes. We see King David, he made a lot of mistakes. But then, again, at the end, he's still serving God. A lot of these people in the Bible, they make mistakes. Not that we can say, oh, well, that gives us a license to make mistakes. What it means is this, is that God still uses imperfect people. And that's part of faith, is knowing that you're imperfect. You're still walking things out. But you believe God that he's going to lead you in the direction. And so we can, I mean, it's easy to get in condemnation when, you know, well, I missed the mark here. I'm trying. I'm not perfect. I'm misreading my Bible today. This didn't happen. Or I got busy with this or anything else too. It's like, continue with him. Walk with him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Are we hoping for things moving forward? Part of faith is, if we don't have anything we're going to attach our faith to that we're believing for, we're going to get discouraged, right? How many people have given up on the things that they're believing for? How many, because they're discouraged, their situation, what have you. And then what happens is we don't pursue God. We don't follow up with him. We don't want to connect with him because we've been discouraged. Things have happened in the past. Things may not have worked out the way that we wanted them to. So we don't have hope. We're not excited about things. We're not excited about God. We're not looking to the future and go, man, things are going to be great. We're going to do some amazing things, God and I. God's going to do some amazing things through me. He's going to do some amazing things in my marriage. He's going to do amazing things in my kids. He's going to do amazing things. I don't hear a lot of people talking that way, do you? No. Especially in the world, right? You know, I'm married to the old ball and chain. You know? I was laughing last week, I had a history teacher. I was like a sophomore or junior in high school, and he retired. Old Corky, his name is Corky, and he retired, and he came in with bib overhauls and a big old straw hat, and last day he retired, and he sang Bob Dylan songs, right? He's like, I don't care what any of you kids think. I'm coming. I'm retired, and I'm going to sing Bob Dylan songs, and you're going to sit there and shut up. So he just played that. But one of the big jokes he'd always say all the time was, he's like, well, my ex-wife ran off with my best friend. And one of the kids is like, what are you talking about? And he goes, well, he's my best friend because you ran off with my ex-wife. So it's like, that's the world's philosophy, right? It's just everything is down. Nothing's going to get better, you know, and everything's awful, terrible. But if we have faith in God, we have hope in things, right? If we lose hope, then there's nothing to attach faith to. I do not have hope of getting a gremlin. Remember those old AMC gremlins, right? Or whatever it is. I mean, there's just things I don't want. I gave away some stuff today to our neighbors, right? I don't want this anymore. Nobody's going to give me something that I don't want. But without faith, verse 6, it's impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. People don't approach God because they don't believe that he's, some people don't believe that he's real, but he doesn't hear them, and that he's not going to reward them. God wants to reward us. He wants to help us. I believe we're not, I see a lot of people, I believe they're not going to God because they are discouraged. They feel hopeless on things, so then therefore they don't approach God. They don't reach out to him for help, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, verse 7 is interesting here. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet. Now, again, we think that a person of faith has got to have all of the, you know, we got to be a Kenneth Hagin or an Oral Roberts or somebody, or, you know, an A.A. Allen or some person that, you know, a Lester Sumrall or what have you, to have this massive faith. But we see that Noah was commissioned to build a big boat when there was no rain. I mean, can you imagine that? Your whole life, God says, you need to build an ark. You need to get ready here. I'm going to flood the earth. And 100 years later, you're finishing this thing up. Can you imagine 100 years working on a project? I mean, to me, I'm thinking, I was doing winterized stuff around the house today, right? And it took me like 2 hours, and I'm thinking, man, I'm tired of this. You know, putting up yard furniture up and everything else too. You know, I mowed the yard. I cleaned up everything. Sat down, ate a little bit of lunch, and got up. I'm like, oh, great, I got to put all this stuff back. I mean, I'm kind of bored with a two-hour project sometime, and this guy had 100 years of carpentry work ahead of him on the same project that wasn't going anywhere. It took him a whole century to complete this thing, right? Now, how much faith would it have to be? Because you can imagine how many people in Noah's day probably walked out that thing and said, that guy is crazy. He's building a boat on dry land. There's not any water. This thing is massive. I mean, he's been doing this thing for 100 years. Now, how many people would give up and say, forget it? Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the way, he condemned the world, and became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. See, I think we overestimate things because the Bible does talk about obedience is more valuable than sacrifice. See, we want to sacrifice the things that we want to do, and sometimes it's obedience. obey. That's a dirty four-letter word for most people, isn't it? First John 5:14 and 15. Sometimes I'll go back over these scriptures and just read them because it's good to know. It's good to memorize. It's good to see these scriptures in your read them over and over and over and over and over again. This 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is one where I have just sit there and meditated on for long periods of time. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. Guys, we need confidence in Him. We're living in a day now, we were just talking about this in prayer, where the darkness is getting even darker, but also the light. More people are jumping on the Jesus bandwagon than ever before, which is fabulous. Right? So we're seeing darkness now that, you know, we're as like, well, I can live my own lifestyle, that's fine, to now you're a hater. Now we need to arrest you. Now it's getting to the point where we got people that just think it's cute to call for violence if you don't agree with them, or it's cute to murder people. I mean, that's pretty dark, right? But then we also see more and more people, especially the youth, getting excited for Jesus, getting excited for the things of God. So we're seeing these two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness, which is increasing, but the kingdom of God is also increasing. And we know that the kingdom of God is going to overpower the kingdom of darkness. And this is the confidence we have in Him, that here we go, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now again, we think sometimes that this is all, you know, and I'm so embarrassed because I know that there are people outside of our camp that think that, you know, when we talk about believing for things, it's all about money. And I was watching it, I was watching a clip the other day, and it just popped up on one of my reels, and this guy was in a church, and he had a Bentley, a brand new Bentley. This pastor had a brand new Bentley on the stage, right? And he was talking to the congregation. I have nothing against people being prosperous. I don't, okay? I don't. And I think the minister should be prosperous. I think all of you should be prosperous. I think that we should all be prosperous. But he's talking about how, you know, God told him he needed the Bentley, and like, well, whatever. But then one of the congregation people said, well, can we drive it? And he said, no, God said no. I'm like, what? It was the weirdest thing ever. And I thought, you know, I just remember when I was at Rhema, some of them would laugh because, there was a minister that said, you're not spiritual if you're not, you know, driving a Rolls Royce. And I thought, well, I'm obviously not proud or spiritual because I'm not driving a Rolls Royce. But again, our faith is not for stuff, but often I use my faith to say, God, I want to know you more, right? Because what's the thing that Solomon said that God said, you know, what is it? You want money? You want your enemies? What do you want? He says, I want wisdom. I want wisdom. And then right after that, the two women, one with the dead baby, one with the live baby, they both came and they were fighting over the baby. And he said, okay, just cut it in half and give half to, you know, half to each one. And the real mother says, no, just let her have it. See, it's wisdom, right? It's the wisdom of God that we need. And so, and this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So many people think that we're crazy because we can approach God and actually hear from Him. And then it says, verse 15, if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now, this is what we call the prayer of faith. There's Mark 11, 22-26, where 1 John 5:14 and 15. These are what we call the prayers of faith. And just because, now, let's step back here for a moment. Just because we're praying for God to believe that we're believing for something does not mean that we're greedy or anything else. Because guess what? When my kids come to me, I want to bless them, right? I mean, most parents like me, I mean, my kids have so much better than what I did when I was growing up, right? I mean, my house was growing up was like, you look back now, when I was a kid, I think I moved like 10 times. Like when I, you know, before I graduated from high school. I don't know what it was. We just moved all the time. But I look back at some of those houses and I'm thinking, that house should have been condemned when I lived there, right? You know, it's kind of like, I mean, I was a boy in the 80s, you know, well, that kind of dates me. But I was a teenager in the 80s and it was like, the only thing, it was like I had Levi's jeans, t-shirts, and that was it, right? I had some like Nikes, you know, that was the flavor of the day, and all my money went into my car. So, you know, I didn't know that, you know, my parents, they had a decent job and everything, but, you know, when I look back now and I'm thinking, that's, man. But see, we can look at ourselves and think, oh, all these things that we're believing for and everything else too. But when I step back and look at my life and I'm thinking, you know what? God has blessed me beyond where I was at when I grew up. And my kids have it so much better than what I did growing up, right? And I didn't have any, my childhood wasn't bad. I had a good childhood, you know, I had good parents. It's just, you know, it's just that's where we're at and that's the level that we were at the time, right? When you grow up in certain things and you just see things, you don't, and then when I got out, Adrian and I moved away, and then you're starting to see things, they're like, wow, that was not what I had expected. And when you step out and you see things, but you know what? God can bless us and help us and give us more vision and more prosperity and blessings than we did before. And you know, the key is having faith is to see your progress. See, we always want to have the, you know, the everything's so fabulous and everything's so wonderful. But take a look at sometimes in life and look at yourself and think, now again, you know, sometimes people may be in setbacks in their life. But for the most part, if you walk with God, often things will get better. And I know that I walk with God, things are so much better. I mean, I have so much more understanding than I did 10 years now than I did 10 years ago. I'm way more prosperous now than I was 10 years ago, you know? And when I was a kid, you know, from where I am now to when I was a kid, the circumstances that I grew up in, it was like, I mean, that's all, it's like you don't know what you don't know. But when you begin to see things and understand things and walk with God, God can open up doors for you. So again, 1 John 5:14 and 15, and I like one thing Joyce Meyer said. She's like, if you're ever depressed, go bake cookies for your neighbor. And I thought that's so true, you know? The problem we have, and often with depressed people, is their focus on themselves. When you get out and begin to serve other people and to touch other people and to bless other people, that does something to you, right? And, you know, Adrian loves to give people things and, you know, she's always buying the girl stuff. And I'm like, okay, we sure are spending a lot of money here on stuff, you know, and everything else too. And that's her gifting, right? I mean, that's a motivation she has. You'll see there in the Apostle Paul talks about different motivations and things like that. She loves to give people things and it blesses her. And she loves buying people things and doing things. And I think it's great too. It's not cheap, but it definitely... something that, you know, she just loves blessing people. And so when you give and you do these things, it's an outflow. That's why the Dead Sea is a Dead Sea, because there's no outflow. There's only inflow and there's nothing flowing out. And when you begin to, like Mr. Gary was talking about there, when you're, you know, talking about giving, it does something to you. Let's look at Jeremiah 33:3, I'll read this, and then we can move on to Matthew chapter 6. But Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you. I love that scripture. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. That's Old Testament. How many could use some knowledge tonight? How many could use some some information, some revelation, and some help in some areas. He's going, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. You know, sometimes, and God will work in sometimes, but I notice sometimes too, when I'm laying there at night and when I get up in the morning, I'll have a revelation on something. I'll ask him about something because my mind's clear. There's always certain times I know the Holy Spirit will show up and show me things about situations or people or different things. Just because you say, Lord, show me this, and you don't receive it instantly, it doesn't mean he's not going to show it to you. Because I remember two nights ago, I was praying about some things, and just a couple nights ago, I was like, oh, there's a situation, this is interesting, what should we do? And nothing, I just heard nothing. And then this morning, I had a whole revelation on it. I just knew, I just had understanding on some situations that I've been believing for. Earlier this week, I've been praying about a different situation, and I'm like, I'm doing this thing, and do I do this and everything too? And then all of a sudden, I came across some other situation, and I'm like, because I'm looking at a certain direction, and then it's kind of like I'm having this vision, but on the inside, on some certain situations that I'm involved in, I don't have peace. It's like I feel I'm moving the right direction, but I don't have peace on this situation. But what I'm looking at over here, this situation, all of a sudden I have confidence and I have peace. So sometimes God isn't going to go, hey, you big idiot, you need to do this, right? Because, hey, ding dong, wake up, get your act together. But what he'll do is Brother Hagin talks about too, you have faith, because again, you got to believe that God's going to speak to us. This is where the Holy Spirit speaks to you. We think we're going to hear voices, right, all the time. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak to me in voices, or he'll articulate things to me. Other times, I'll just have a peace about things, right? Because lately, I have to choose between these two, and I was looking at this one, I was like, okay, yes, I have time invested in this and this and this, but on the inside, I have a sinking feeling like something's just not right. But then I'm looking at this other one, and it's kind of like I have this ding, ding, ding on the inside. It like I have a bell ringing, and it's almost kind of like I can't see myself doing something other than that. Does that make sense? Well, sometimes he'll reveal things. I'll have visions, and other times I'll have a direction. Sometimes I'll hear the voice of the Holy Spirit on the inward witness. But see, that's where we got to have faith in God and know, just like, Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Guess what? God chooses his avenue to reveal things to you, not your demand at the McDonald's checkout window, right? Tell God how you want it delivered, right? We're not Burger King. It's not your way, the way you want it. Am I boring you tonight? But you're gonna have the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you in different ways. And it doesn't mean it's always going to be a cookie cutter, situation. I've had things where, again, I've been praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden I feel this tenseness on the inside, and there's a wreck in front of me. I sense a slowdown, and then all of a sudden I just start tensing up, and I know something's going on, and I had a drunk driver jump in front of Adrian, and I went over into the ditch. So I slowed down. If I wouldn't have slowed down, it would have hit us. Other times I'll wake up and have dreams about things, and I'll just know. I'll just have an inkling. I'll just know what to do. He'll reveal things to me. I'm not that smart. God is way smarter than me. And he'll reveal things to me in the time that I need to. We were just talking about being led, today and talking with the girls just about doing different things. And it's like, God's not going to give you the whole picture. He's not. He never did. And what did he tell Abraham? He's like, just go to Ur. Just go. It's like, oh, well, that's great. I'm prosperous over here and everything's great, but I got to, leave this and go over to Ur. All the time, when Joseph and Mary, after Jesus was born, what did he say? Okay, you need to go to Egypt. Then he came back, okay, now you need to go to Nazareth. Now you need to go here. He didn't The Lord didn't tell Joseph to go, okay, you're going to go there for a couple years for Egypt, and they're going to come back, and then I need you to go to, he's going to be in Nazareth. You know, he didn't explain anything to him. He's like, just one step at a time. And that's what we get. That's how God operates. Now, sometimes he may show you the end, but he doesn't show you A, B, C, D through to Z to get there. It's a process involved. And guess what? He's going to maybe have people come along to speak something into your life. Maybe he'll, you know, show you in a vision or a dream or an inward witness. He's going to use different avenues. But guess what? That keeps us on path with him, because if God only showed us certain, that's where it's always kind of like, well, God always shows me this way, and God always shows me this way. It's like, okay, well, that's part of believing in God, is because God is not the same. Meaning, he likes to change things up, right? I mean, he's got, you know, he's a donkey. I mean, you know, Balaam's talking to a donkey. We got axe heads, floating in water. He's splitting the Red Sea. I mean, he is absolutely unconventional, and he's unpredictable. Now, of course, his word, we know his character. But again, as we're walking with God and we're living this life of faith, is we're not going to often be able to connect with, or at least have the same path often he's going to speak to us. He may use different avenues to speak to us. So Jeremiah, so you're at Matthew chapter 6. Stay there. I want to read one other scripture here. It's Philippians 6, 7. That's not Philippians 6. I've got that wrong. There's not six chapters in there. I'm going to look it up. Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Chapter 4, verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. This is going to mess you. I mean, this is going to cause some issues if you're trying to hear from the Holy Spirit and live this life of faith. Is if you're worried about things, you need to roll that off. One of the things that in prayer school at Rhema, we would always confess a lot is, I know the voice of God, and I hear his voice. I know him. I can hear his voice. And so it says here, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, here we go, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You know, Brother Hagin always said something too. He says, you know, when we pray to God, we always want to thank him after we're done, because people of faith thank God. Sometimes when I pray, I'll hear things instantly. Other things, it doesn't come instant. But it doesn't mean that God didn't hear us. Amazon's like right in our backyard, you know, and it's, we'll hit the, you know, Amazon thing, and then like Adrian will buy something. I don't buy anything on Amazon. I don't know. You know, she got all the little things, you know, she's like, you know, buying this stuff. Oh, we'll buy some at 10 o'clock at night, and then it shows, 2 o'clock in the morning, it showed up on your doorstep, right? Do you remember the old days? You know, I remember I like cut out a magazine thing, you know, cut the magazine. People don't know, like magazine. There's a paper with like, you know, I'm kidding. But you cut the magazine thing out with the ad, and then you stick it in. You know, they want a money order, and that's like you go down to see, you know, at the post office, and you give them cash, and it's money orders, like a little check, and you stick it in there for your T-shirt or whatever. And then 4 to 6 weeks later, you get it by Pony Express, right? It was so ridiculous. Now it's like, well, it's been 2 hours and they haven't delivered it yet. Am I the only one that did that? You know, you're like magazine or something, you stand away for something, and it's like, you know, you mailed it, you know, where you have to lick the stamps and, you know, put that on there, mail it away. Then you hope it gets there. I don't know. Dwight probably knows more than I do about this, but I'm assuming it was probably bulk mail, you know, where it's like, oh, we'll take 4 to 6 weeks up, and then we'll just all package them all at one time. Hey, it's like, I'm 16 years old and I want it now, right? What button do I push for that? Like, what switch do I flip for the now thing, right? Stick in a couple extra bucks for that. But now it's like, you know, again, so it's with Thanksgiving. We don't know when things are going to happen sometimes. God doesn't give us a deadline of you know, it's, I'm sure that Moses probably wanted to be done with, you know, walk out of Egypt and all be done. But God had a plan. He's going to wipe out Egypt, but it wasn't in his timing or how he's going to think. Again, God does things that we don't expect in the time, in his timing, right? Matthew chapter 6. We'll kind of finish things up here. All I know is we do serve a good God. Amen? And he wants good things for us. And there's so many people out there that are preaching that God is putting sickness on people. He's doing mean things to people. You know what? Just earlier, it's just so wonderful. Sometimes when I'm spending time with the Lord, but I'm just praying. And like today, I was just, you know, meditating and just praying. And it was like, sometimes the Holy Spirit will show up. He'll show up in my room or my office at home. And while I'm praying and I'm just worshiping him, and it's just like his love is just this gooey thing that just came all over me, right? When the Holy Spirit shows up and you're fellowshipping with him, there is a manifest presence of love when he manifests. And people that say he's putting sickness to these other people. You know, when you know the character of God and understand him and have fellowship with him and the Holy Spirit shows up and you have communion with him, that is ridiculous. That is so insulting to know that he is doing evil things to people. We know that in the Bible, right? John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to have life and have it more abundantly. We see Acts 10:38, whom God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So again, when we have the revelation that God is good, yes, there's hostility around us, yes, there's bad things going on around us, but he still loves us, and he still is compassionate for us, and he still wants the best for his children. And that's you and I. And then verse 5 says, this is Matthew chapter 5, and we'll close here. It is so interesting that we got kids' church now, and it's just like everything's so, you know, zoom, zoom, and more. I mean, you know, what have you been here? An hour and 20? I almost feel guilty. We should go longer, right? We're like, no. And when you pray, do not be as hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, they may be seen of men. Truly I say unto you, they have their reward. Right? Verse 6, but when you pray, enter your closet and shut your door and pray to your Father which is in secret. And your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Now there's times where, you know, I'll go and pray for people and things like that. I'm not, you know, one of the things at old facility, what I would do is on Saturday night, like tonight, you know, I just go there 5 or 6 o'clock at night and just pray for, you know, people in the church and just pray in the Holy Spirit and pray in things and pray for people. In verse 7, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard with their much speaking. Now you could tell people that, again, what do they go? Oh God, please, 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 please. You know who does that? Little kids, right? What's one of the worst places to go when you're shopping? The cereal aisle and the toy section, right? Do not go down those aisles when you've got kids, okay? Those of you younger in here, when you got kids and they're with you and you're shopping, do not go down those aisles, right? Because what happens? They are begging worse than a homeless people in Christmas time, right? I mean, it is bad. And then sometimes we're playing sports and stuff like that, and I don't know what it is, but like we have to go to Chipotle like every meal. I don't know what the deal is, but every meal it's like we got to go to Chipotle, you know? With Emily, she's not here, but it's just every time it's like, Dad's go to Chipotle. You know, there are other, you know, food establishments in this world besides Chipotle, okay? Right? But then it gets in, please, 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 or it's Chick-fil-A, right? It's one of those two. We kind of, those are the two that we, you know, she likes switching off and on about. But what happens is, please, 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 please. That's what heathens do. Why do I need to ask God 20 times if I know that he hears us? God does not have earwax built up in his ear. He hears us and he knows and he's way smarter than me. But don't be like them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask. After this manner, and then it goes into the Lord's Prayer, our Father is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, that's dangerous for some people and scary for people to say, it's your will. This is where I believe we see people that shy away from the Spirit-filled message and everything else too, is because they're not in control. They're not in control. You see the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Well, the Sadducees didn't even believe in the resurrection. So they're obviously behind the eight ball on believing on any kind of real super, any kind of spirituality. But they attack Christ because of the anointing and because of the miracles and because of those things. And what happened was they didn't get the attention. They weren't had the focus put on them. And it's all about the Holy Spirit. And there's people who have control problems and they don't like his will done on this earth. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts, for we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then Colossians 1, 9 through 12. Living a life of faith and in prayers, we're praying for other people. I don't really spend really too much time asking God for stuff or believing for things. I just want to connect with him. I just want to fellowship with him. Because when I connect with him, he leads me down paths that I was not previously aware of. Or let's say I have motivations to do things that I was not thinking of before. So verse 9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So we need wisdom and spiritual understanding. We don't need stuff, right? Well, we do need stuff, but my point is it all is going to stem from wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we would walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks to our Father, which has made us meet to be partakers, here we go, of the inheritance of the saints in light. I was just, you know, talking with some people about, we'd experienced some things, but we were, one of our friends is a pastor in South Dakota, or North Dakota, excuse me. Is there a difference? I don't know, right? I guess maybe. But anyway, one's on top and one's below. There we go, all right? All I know is it's really cool because in South Dakota you can drive 80. That's pretty cool. And just talking about her daughter, you know, kind of getting, and some of the kids, you know, people getting razzed for, Adrian was just listening to it earlier on the way over here, or, you know, earlier this afternoon. She was just sharing how, you know, they're just this Bible teacher, and we hear the same thing all the time. But the Bible teacher was getting on these kids about, you know, being Spirit-filled and things like that too. And I've been around people too that have been very negative about, well, that tongue stuff, or you know, that all of that Holy Ghost stuff, or those tongues things. And the problem with this is talking like that is this: that the source of this, which they stand by, which they seem to get farther and farther away from Jesus' original commandments, and they're scared of any kind of move of the Spirit, is all of those things are byproducts of the person, the Holy Spirit. See, Galatians chapter 5, the fruits of the Spirit are all byproducts or manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gifts of the Spirit are also a byproduct of the Holy Spirit, right? In turn, the devil, when the devil manifests, there are things we see in Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh, and also, you know, Jesus talks about John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I came to have my life more abundantly. So when God shows up, good things happen. When the devil shows up, there's fear, there's anxiety, there's murder, there's lying, there's all kinds of every evil work that is outlined there in Galatians chapter 5. So to deny the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, which John 14 and John chapter 16, he's our help, our paraclete, to help in every time of need. He reveals things to us. He helps us. He's a comforter. He's all of these manifestations by the Holy Spirit. And to mock those things, it's probably easy to, but if it's part of who you are, people come along and like, well, look at his fingers, they're weird looking. Or look at his nose, it's weird looking. It's like, well, that's part of me. And, you know, when you're mocking the things of the Holy Spirit, those are part of who he is, right? People come along and they're like, well, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that healing stuff and everything. Oh, I'm sorry. It's just, that's kind of a big deal with Jesus' ministry, right? I mean, that's kind of his dinner bell to help people was he healed people. And by the way, when he went up to multitudes, he would heal every person. And the Bible talks about, too, that, that all the books in the world would not be able to contain the miracles that Jesus performed here on the earth. So there's obviously something in God's heart that he wants to heal people, he wants to help people, and it's just part of who he is. We begin to have a revelation of who he is and his desires and his motivation to help us in any time of need, then we should be able to go to him and say, Lord, I need help, and know that he wants to help us. What kind of an abusive parent would go and say, I'm hungry, and you don't feed your kids? Right? What kind of abuse parents would you, I mean, if you have the ability, if you have the means, I need new clothes, I've outgrown these things, and you don't provide those for your kids. If I didn't take care of my kids, I would probably end up in jail or, you know, have them taken from me. But somehow religious folks think that it's cute for God and it's okay for him to neglect his children, but we're set on a different standard. That's ridiculous. And so God's heart, when we know him, part of 1 John 5:14-15 is know that is just to know his character, to know that he wants to help us. And the devil wants to make us think that he doesn't care, he's not listening or anything else too, but the problem is we're thinking that we need it in our time frame rather than he's going to reveal those things. It may be now, it may be in another day or two, I don't know. But he's faithful to do it, and he's going to help you. Sometimes with me, my mind just isn't settled, right? I mean, I'm running kids over here. I'm at a ball game. I got people talking to me. I got, yeah. You ever been to those girls softball games before, right? You know, Adrian and I were just sitting there last night, and I digress. But, you know, they're like the little chants and the little, sitting next to the dugout, and it's like, listen to this stuff. Right? And I'm hearing, we didn't do that. When I played baseball, I mean, we'd have umpires like, you can't say that. You're going to be ejected. So we couldn't say batter swing. Everybody freak out, you know, when I played baseball, like even high school. But we'd sit there and listen to the girls, chant away. So sometimes your mind is not in a position to hear. And it doesn't mean God doesn't want to speak to you. And sometimes I am in the midst of things and He'll speak to us. But sometimes we need to get our mind and our spirit quiet so that we can hear from Him. So I think often we are not quiet enough to listen. There's an art. There's a spiritual art of just resting in Him. And that's part of casting the cares. We just talked about casting the cares. But part of resting is just your mind. I know, I haven't done it as much lately, but often things I have done in the past is I'll pray for long periods of time or pray for a certain period of time, and then often I'll sit afterwards and do nothing and just wait. And just wait on Him. Clear my mind. We always have this habit now, don't we? And just put that thing away. Because it's always interesting once you start reading your Bible or you start praying, then all of a sudden you get an unction, you gotta check your email, you gotta see what's going on Facebook, you gotta see who texts you and everything else too. And I get those people too where they'll text me or something and then 5 minutes later, are you there? My life is not about answering your texts, right? I'm not put on this planet to just respond to your every whim, but it is a getting your mind settled and hearing Him and letting Him, giving Him an opportunity to speak to you about things that you're believing for or you need to hear clearly on. There's a definite just waiting on Him, allowing Him. And some of the most amazing spiritual experiences that I've had with the Holy Spirit have just been after prayer time and the Word, just sitting, letting Him talk to me about things. And, because if we think that only it's going to be through reading the Bible, we're mistaken. It's an aspect that we do need. But, when we spend time in the Word, spend time and pray, allow Him to speak to us, and just rest in Him. Sometimes we just need to let our mind just settle. Because that's often the devil's tool, is to get us racing, and we're so just driven by the world in circumstances, and there is life, and we got kids, we've got life, we've got work, we've got responsibilities. We're not saying deny those things, but... Often what I'll do is sometimes when people are in bed, I'll just sit in the living room and just nothing, just listen. Just listen. Just listen to Him. Spend time with Him. Well, it sounds ridiculous to people, because if I'm sitting in my living room doing nothing, okay, that might be interesting. But why? Because I have faith in Him. That as I sit there and just listen to Him and just wait on Him, 1 John 5:14 will kick in, that He is. He hears us. Anything we do, ask according to will, He hears us. And we can have those petitions that we desired of Him. Adam and Eve, God showed up in the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve to fellowship when they fell. And He's always there. He's always ready to fellowship with us and to reveal things to us. But it's not just about getting things from Him, but it's just knowing Him. I think that's just something that over the years, a lot of times we've all been there at times where you're praying God and you need an answer and you're like, God, I need this, I need this, and I need this. And there are those periods. But for me, it's not any more of the needing thing. It's, I need You. I want to hear You. I want to connect with You. I want to spend time with You. Because You as a person are more important than just You, the provider of stuff. And I believe that's where we're going to be able to just get more, your life will become more fulfilled when you begin to take that avenue, begin to take that approach, and just say, I'm just going to be with You. I just want to, and I don't get out in stores very much, but when I'm out in public, I'll think about Him. And I'll just acknowledge Him. Say, Lord, I'm thinking about You. I love You. I want You to know that I'm thinking about You. I want You. I want to connect with you. I want to sense your presence now. How can I, what do you need from me today? Father, we just thank you so much for this time together, Lord Jesus, because you are precious, Lord. Even though we may be tired tonight, even though we're dealing with things, Lord, you're still such a good God. And tonight, I pray for peace over everyone here tonight, that there is peace, that everyone will sleep sound tonight, Lord Jesus, and be rested, Father. And God, we just give you glory and honor, and we thank you for all you continue to do in us, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.